The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Who's ready for some
Dukes and Bell?
Oh, okay.
Presented by Findlay Roofing on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We've got tickets for you to go check out the Braves on August 30th, taking on the Rockies, guys, at Truist Park, plus a Georgia Lottery gift bag. Stay tuned. We'll give you a chance to win that here between now and 6 o'clock. Right now, though, we got to talk to BMAC, Bryant McFadden. He is a CBS NFL analyst, joins us on a weekly basis. And B, it's good to have you back on. Two-time Super Bowl champion with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think it was last week we were asking you about how much time is enough time to really evaluate Penix, but going into the season. And as we await word about his call with his doctor and all of this stuff, do you feel like there is enough time still before the start of the season that he can establish himself as a starter?
Nah, I don't think so. I think it's pretty much Tua Tagovailoa's job to lose because of Penix not being cleared and healthy. You know, you don't know when that's going to happen and how soon can he get acclimated to being involved in 11-on-11 activities and doing everything that Tua Tagovailoa has been doing since becoming a part of the Atlanta Falcons organization. So by default, you know, Tua Tagovailoa will be the quarterback week one, barring any injury-type setback to him. I think he's going to be the guy.
Hey, B, because you played defensive back, explain to the listeners, because we talk about 7-on-7 all summer long. Talk about what it is and what it means. How does it affect the quarterback? What kind of, is there anything remotely close to a game situation when you do a 7-on-7?
Nah, it's nothing close to it. Nothing. 7-on-7, number one, when you're doing 7-on-7 drills, everyone knows it's a pass, right? So throw out any run options, It's a pass. Number two, for a quarterback, you don't have to worry about any pocket collapsing because you have no rushers trying to put pressure on you, trying to create any type sack opportunities. So you're throwing on air essentially because there's no simulation to what you will see in game-like situations. So doing 7-on-7s, it's a great way to get rhythm and create some type of offensive chemistry. I'm not taking anything away from that. But the best way to simulate what you will see on Sundays is by doing what? 11-on-11. When you have a run option, when you have a pass option, that's the best simulation a quarterback could get. So it's not the same. I'll put it like that. It's a big difference. And those are the things that Michael Penix is missing with not being 100% clear to be able to do those said things.
Is Tua, in your opinion, grabbing this by the horns and solidifying what he's capable
no.
of?
Okay. No. And what, you don't even have to finish the question.
Well, and what needs to happen over the next few weeks for you to feel more confident?
No, I need to see a rhythm. Like, what we saw in the small sample size in week one of the preseason was not appealing. Tell me what Atlanta Falcon fans or fan walked away from watching Tua Tagovailoa last week and said, you know what, we got our guy. None. Nobody. Because he didn't – and I understand there was a lot of issues, not with him solely, but with the entire offense, but he didn't show you anything that really make you feel optimistic that he is the best guy for the job. So to answer your question, no, he's not grabbing his job by the horn. Remember what I said earlier. By default, he's going to be the guy. Because the other guy hasn't been healthy enough to compete fully. So, and then another thing too, guys, that's kind of confusing for me. Tua and the starters are not playing against the Colts. And I understand these joint practices are very, very important. They're impactful. But they're not the same as participating in the game. You can say, well, it's preseason football, B-Mac. No, that's still meaningful football. You know why? Because you have an eye in the sky that's watching you. You're on television. There's a stadium full with people. That's the best game-like situation you can embark in on when you're in training camp. Because you know what? When you have joint practices as a defensive back, if I got beat in practice, I got beat. Granted, right. I'm going against another team, but it's practice. It doesn't hit the same if you were to get beat when millions of people are watching you. So he's not grabbing the job by the horn. I felt like this would have been a great opportunity for him to get in a game-like situation in the stadium to go against the Colts defense, regardless of the ones or the twos, to kind of showcase the rhythm. You know, he's getting that chemistry going. But granted, they're not doing it. They're not doing that.
Talking to our man, B-Mac, Brian McFadden, guys, two-time Super Bowl winner with the Steelers here on CBS Sports. All right, we'll move on to another quarterback battle, or is it? We saw Mendoza last night do some good and some bad. He's looked at good, made a rookie mistake, threw a pick, not the first guy to do that. But Clint Kubiak, I thought Kirk Cousins was going to be the starter. Now, is he entertaining the idea? Because all the fans are going to want him out there anyway by week four, so why not just start the rookie and let him learn on the spot?
Well, when he made it known weeks ago that Kirk Cousins would be the starting quarterback, I was okay in that, because now you just defining what the situation is going to be. But also, too, that doesn't mean that Mendoza couldn't put heat on Kirk Cousins, right? Mm-hmm. In week one, he played fairly well. Week two, last night against the Houston Texans, he did some good things. But to your point, he did some bad things also. So I think Kirk Cousins will be the starting quarterback week one. I don't think Fernando Mendoza could do enough in the final week of preseason where he could really put heat on Kirk Cousins. Granted, if he would have played exceptionally well last night, now there's reason to really have that conversation. But guys, call Mike. He didn't play lights out. He did some good things, but there were some things that made you feel like, okay, there's the rookie mistake. So I think Kirk Cousins is safe in terms of being the starter for week one.
All right, while we're talking about quarterbacks, what's your take on Cleveland, man? What's going to happen there?
I had this conversation, a few days ago with Shador and Deshaun Watson, and this is my take on it. If the quarterback competition is close, right, mm-hmm. I think they're going to give it to Deshaun Watson. If it's a close battle, if it ends up being a close battle, Deshaun Watson will be QB1. And the reason why I say that way is because you're paying him the most money. Right. He is the bigger investment for the organization. And that's why it's super important for Shador Sanders to not make this quarterback competition close, to not allow it to be close, where it's a clear-cut decision that needs to be made. And in week one, Deshaun Watson did some pretty good things, you know, especially with how long he's been removed from the game. And Shador Sanders did some pretty good things, but he also did some bad things as well. You can't have that. You got to create a gap of separation, Shador. So I feel like with Shador starting this week is very, very important, because I can tell you this much, guys, most NFL organizations, when there is a quarterback competition, they go into the final week with the decision already made, regardless if it's been made publicly or not. They already go into that final week with a decision made, because now it's time to get ready for week one.
23 days till we play the Steelers up there in Pittsburgh. What are you hearing about the Steelers? The offense, you know, we talked about how ugly it was at times last year and that playoff loss. But what do you hear about Pittsburgh?
Oh, we ready. We like our week one matchup.
Oh, yeah?
No question. Yeah. we love our week one matchup, man. No question. But in all honesty, man, they're fired up. Aaron Rodgers, man, he's fired up about this season. He's happy to be with his former coach. You know, you have some issues off the field with Joey Porter Jr. still haven't participated in anything, as he, you know, continues to be in hold-in with his contract negotiations being a bit stagnant. But outside of that, man, everything is looking really, really positive for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're fired up about this home opener. You know, it's been a while since, if I'm not mistaken, since they played week one at home. The fan base is fired up. Everyone is ready to rock and roll, man. So, like I said, man, we love the matchup against Atlanta. You know, I'm sorry, Falcons. You know, I live in Atlanta and I rock with the Falcons. Every other week, outside the week, you play against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I really applaud the quarterback concerns now for Atlanta.
He's too close to it, Carl. He's too close to it.
You already know. I was about to say it. I mean,
Aaron Rodgers, the mobility of a refrigerator. What's he talking about, Carl?
I have no idea, man. All these old cats on defense.
Rock and roll.
I mean, you got all these long in the tooth cats on defense, and it's ridiculous.
Right. And McCarthy's going to have those Pomani Brothers sandwiches in his pockets. He's going to be distracted.
Those are good, though.
Yes, sir. he will bite down at the end of that victory, too. You better believe it.
Jalen Hurts.
You know what we should do? You know what we should do?
What?
Because I rock with you guys heavy, right? This is what we should do. And I want the fans, our listeners, to participate in this potential wager right here. I'll bet both of you guys a dinner of choice.
Okay.
Right? If Atlanta beats Pittsburgh week one.
Done!
And if when Pittsburgh wins, You guys got to take me out. And let us allow the listeners to determine which restaurant we partake in.
Oh, I like that.
And it's good because B doesn't drink. That saves us a lot of money
on the tab. That's true. I like that.
No question. You're right. I don't drink. I'm a cheap date.
I mean, we put damage on the wine list, so I think we get off easy. You know, this is a net win. Either way, we win on this one, Carl.
I like that. All right. That's what's on the table. So, Falcon fans, once this all goes down, then we'll discuss. But I like that. I like that wager. I was going to ask you about Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown, man. They made up, look, publicly. I think they've talked privately, but this was good for A.J. to run up on him after practice, and they dap each other up, give each other a hug and a pound, and it feels good. The animosity I never just really understood, but what's your take on this? Because A.J. Brown apparently killed them in practice over the last couple of days.
Yeah, to your point, I never knew the disconnect because those guys seem to be so genuinely connected as homeboys. You know, Jalen was one of the main voices fighting for A.J. to become an Eagles, player. And if I'm not mistaken, A.J. Brown is the godfather for Jalen's child, if I'm not mistaken, right?
That's right.
Someone is the godfather, right?
Yeah.
So you don't just give that title to anybody and then for it just to go south as fast as it did, it didn't make any sense. That led to him not even being a part of the organization. And it wasn't a contract dispute. He just wasn't happy there. So I'm happy to see that they are communicating. You know, clearly there was some type of friction, guys. You know, Jalen Hurts got married. A.J. Brown wasn't there. That doesn't sit well with how their relationship was. So I'm happy to see they made contact. They communicated. It was publicly seen on the football field. So now they both can move on and get ready for the season.
One more thing. Are you putting us in the category of worst teams in the NFL? Just let me be clear about this. I'm talking Dolphins, complete rebuild. I'm talking Cardinals.
I'm talking Cardinals.
I'm talking Browns. These are the teams that I'm talking about when you say, hey, we're not going to – Jets, okay, because I love Aaron Glenn. AG's a friend. He's going to get fired at the end of the season or maybe before. You're not putting us in that same category, are you?
Hey, Carl, that's a great question. And this is how I'll answer your question. You said the Dolphins.
Yes.
You said the Cardinals.
Yes.
You said the Jets. You said the Browns.
Right.
Right? As we see it right now, Tua Tagovailoa is the quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons, correct?
Yes.
Technically,
right?
Yes.
Because Penix isn't clear yet, right?
Correct. Yes.
Technically, yes.
Yes.
So, okay. All right. So if you had to rank the quarterbacks of the teams you just mentioned.
Oh, Tua's better than all those guys.
Atlanta.
Tua's better than all those guys. Jacoby Brissett? Come on, B. I mean, get Miami? Come on.
Is he better than Malik Willis?
I'd rather see Malik Willis if I'm honest.
Would you guys stop? Malik Willis hasn't done a damn thing.
Mike, say that loud again. Hold on, Carl. What did Mike just say?
I'd rather see Malik Willis, all things being equal.
Oh, wait a minute. Where were you guys a few years ago when all this Malik hype was around?
No. Yeah. We're not talking years ago. We're talking about right now. Getting ready for this season right now.
He's not going to do anything this season.
How would you rate? I think I'd rather see Geno also.
Oh, come on.
Right.
You're going to see Carson Beck before you see Geno.
No, I'm just saying right now, I feel like I have more faith.
Okay.
I'm just saying right now, here and now, I have more faith in Malik Willis. I'll do it like this. If you put Malik Willis with Bijan, Drake, and Kyle, you'll be more optimistic about the success than what you have currently with Tua.
Yeah, because he doesn't have an injury history, Bryant.
Oh, that plays a part.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
But does that not play a part in my question? That means you have to rank them as such also. The injury history, the concerns.
Hey,
you have to rank them as such.
Tua top eight top eighth place last year in completion percentage, B. He doesn't have to throw it more than 10 yards because everything's going to be yards after the catch in this offense. We can still find a way.
You know what?
It sounds like I'm convincing myself.
Save that thought, B. Yeah. We got to run. We're up against it.
I feel like I'm really trying to convince myself of something here.
All right, we got to run. Brian McFadden.
All right, B.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
All right, thank you.
All right, guys, we're going to head to Indianapolis next.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanses and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.